Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But it can only be a debate, of course, if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 442086014555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line. And remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your TV has to be down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 4478008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, it turns out that my late and great and lamented friend, President Yasser Arafat, was almost certainly murdered, and by a nuclear weapon. Vast traces of polonium-210 were found in his keffiyeh, in his underwear, in his socks, on his toothbrush, all given to an investigative journalistic team by his widow, Suha Arafat. A Swiss laboratory studied for 9 months all this material and have concluded that the Palestinian icon was positively glowing with polonium, a nuclear weapon which was used to kill a Russian dissident in London. We were told at the time by the British government and by all the mainstream media that only a state actor with access to nuclear weapons could possibly have produced polonium-210 in the volumes required to carry out the murder of the Russian dissident Litvinenko. And they said that meant the Russian government had to be involved. So on that basis, if they were telling the truth, clearly if Arafat was murdered by the same material, then a state actor with access to nuclear weapons must have been responsible for the murder of the Nobel laureate and the late President Yasser Arafat. Who could that be? Well, there are no prizes for guessing that it's obvious that Israel murdered Yasser Arafat. If a state actor with access to nuclear weapons is the only possible suspect, then which other state actor with access to nuclear weapons would it be who killed the Palestinian leader? So much so obvious. But there are bigger questions. I was with Arafat all of my life. I met him when I was 23 years old, and I was present at the hospital in Paris in 2004 when he died. I must tell you that the discussion amongst his veteran comrades, of whom I had the privilege to call myself one, was not on whether or not Arafat had been murdered, but that how did they manage to murder him? And that's the number one question that I have in my mind now. If Israel murdered Arafat with polonium-210, how did they get into the presidential compound in Ramallah in order to do so? Did they have accomplices close to President Arafat? Did they have an Israeli agent or two in the court of the Palestinian Authority in Ramallah? Who helped the murderers kill their own leader? These are questions that will not go away, and they are questions of great moment for the Palestinian people and for those like me who have always supported them. And we demand an international tribunal to investigate this matter, to find out whether Arafat was murdered, if he was murdered by this material, who murdered him, and who collaborated in his murder. I want to discuss these matters with you this evening. I also want to know why there was no post-mortem on Arafat's body after his demise. After all, hundreds of television cameras were outside the hospital. The story of his death was the number one public relations and political issue of the day. How come a hospital like the Percy Military Hospital did not carry out a post-mortem? Why did they destroy, long before the 10 years they're supposed to have kept them, the tests, the specimens that they took from Arafat while he was still alive? And will the Palestinian Authority now do as they have promised, to exhume the body of the president so that we can test it for polonium-210? Now, last week at this time, I gave a stern warning to so-called Prince Nasser of Bahrain not to come to London for the Olympic Games. I asked the British government to forbid him from coming to the Olympic Games on the basis that he's the representative of a murdering, torturing, thieving, usurping, so-called royal family, who in fact are merely a branch of organized crime and have been for hundreds of years. But also because I have reason to believe that so-called Prince Nasser was personally involved in the torture of Bahraini athletes. And it would be a grotesque travesty if someone who had recently been torturing athletes were to turn up at the greatest athletic celebration in the world, namely the London Olympic Games. The video of what I had to say last Thursday evening has gone viral on the internet and on YouTube. On YouTube alone, almost 100,000 people have watched the video in just a few days. You'll no doubt, after this show, want to watch it yourselves. Just type in my name and so-called Prince Nasser of Bahrain, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But the crimes in Bahrain continue. And an 11-year-old boy who was threatened with prison for endangering the security, can you believe it, of the brutal dictatorship of Bahrain, is still being charged with that crime, even though the dictatorship has now backed down from the threat to put an 11-year-old boy in prison. People are now this evening demonstrating in Bahrain against British and American and Saudi complicity in the crimes against the people of Bahrain. And the crimes against the people of Britain and the world by UK bankers, even if some of them are US citizens, like Bob Diamond of Barclays Bank, continue to cause crisis in the British political and economic system. Diamond in the rough. Bob Diamond has finally gone from his multi-million pounds a year job at Barclays Bank. But how many more of these people lie as yet undetected? It's my prediction that Diamond will not be the last so-called jewel prized from the crown of the City of London. It goes without saying that these are my views. They're not the views of Press TV, neither are they the views of any government. And if you have different views, I, for one, want to hear them. Let's take the first call of the evening from Manuch in the United Kingdom on the subject of the late President Arafat. Manuch, welcome to the show, my friend.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, go ahead.
As usual, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and may I firstly take this opportunity to congratulate you on your massive win on the parliamentary election.
Thank you, sir.
That's number one. Number two, yes, we all met the hero, Chairman Arafat. We put on a helicopter, and at the time we all knew there's a problem here and there's a catch. And obviously a lot of us had our suspicion, and it's coming out that we were all right. And regarding the Russian and connection in this, I'm afraid I can't actually match them up, but there again, politics has got such
well,
a...
Well, I'm absolutely certain, Manuch, that Russia was not involved in the crime. I'm absolutely certain that it was Israel that murdered Arafat. I never had any doubt about that. But what I'm more concerned about is how they managed to do it. How did they get close enough to the president in his compound in Ramallah in order to carry out this murder?
That's exactly what you're saying is right. And I would believe if they have used the Russian way, if they're saying they do, and this must be without the Russians' involvement, because there again, Arafat was a very important figure for the Russians and the stability of the region which they are playing for. But it is my view that the world leaders, such as Brits and Americans, were totally aware of the Israeli complicity in this, and they've all stayed quiet. And why are we speaking about it 10 years later? You know, and this is very upsetting, because I personally believe that because he was a man of peace and he wanted to make peace, and Israelis are not ready for peace.
No, well, they're certainly not ready to pay the price for peace, Manouk, which is justice. And no justice, no peace was always Arafat's rubric. I'm absolutely certain that the Russians were not involved, but it has to be, we're told, a state actor with access to such nuclear materials who can produce polonium-210 in the quantities required for it to be a weapon. And as you know, the Russian dissident was killed in London after drinking tea laced with this polonium. So who laced President Arafat's tea? That's what I want to know. Manouk, thanks for the call. Let's go all the way to Pakistan, talk to Ghulam about Bahrain. Ghulam, welcome to the show, my friend. Ghulam.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
How are you, sir?
Go ahead, you're on the air.
You are doing a great job, sir, and you are real life of restless people. I want to talk about the atrocities and operations by the Bahraini forces to the innocent by the Saudi forces to the innocent Bahrainis. The forces are targeting even the medical staff and the nurses, those who are taking care of the injured and patients. I have a question. Why human rights activists of the whole world are silent toward these atrocities? Why Bahrain has failed to get the spotlights in the mainstream media? I think the main I want to talk about the main character of America.
Well, look, Ghulam, I'm going to stop you because it's not a great line, though I'm sure it's a great contribution that you're making. It's obvious why the mainstream media is not covering it, because they're backing their states. Britain, the United States, and others are backing the brutal, murderous dictatorship in Bahrain, because the even more brutal and even more murderous dictatorship in so-called Saudi Arabia next door could not withstand the triumph of democracy in Bahrain. It would become a dagger at the heart of the grimmest dictatorship of them all. And so the Western powers, who are forever telling us how much they support democracy elsewhere, are not prepared to tolerate it in Bahrain. But we don't need the mainstream media. Go to YouTube and extract comment from last week on the subject of Bahrain. Spread it everywhere. Use the internet. Use YouTube. Use Facebook. Use Twitter. Expose these criminals everywhere that you can. We can't wait for the mainstream media. Thanks, Ghulam. Let's hear from Ali in the United Kingdom on the same subject. Ali, welcome to the show.
Hi, George, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, I think your message last week to Nasser bin Hamad was very strong, and it took our foreign minister in Bahrain to reply to you on Twitter, and he's accusing you of stupid comments, and I did send that to you on Twitter.
Well, Ali, you should ask him, which part of what I had to say was untrue?
Well, you see, he don't have anything to confront you, and he did an insight, believe that what you're saying was true. That's why he did come with some stupid allegation against you. And what he's trying to do is basically to make your name dirty in front of the Arab people. And we did, and Bahrain replied to him, and he has no courage to come back and answer our questions. I think the brutality of Bahrain regime is going more and more nowadays, especially after UK sending the cup and United States sending the cup, and that's due to the changes that's going to take place for sure in the coming year or so, especially with the King Abdullah. There is the big news that he is dead, at this time, and there is a change is happening. The revolution is making strong steps on the ground, and that's going to take place in Saudi Arabia very soon when they announce Abdullah have died. Now, what we're seeing is United States and United Kingdom is always supporting dictatorship. And we've seen Kissinger last week comment on the Arab Spring, and he was very straightforward. We can't afford to have Bahraini revolution winning against the dictatorship regime, because that's a true revolution, and when it's going to take place and make some changes, which is real changes, this change has to be on Saudi Arabia, which American and UK government can't afford to make it at this point of time. What they're trying to do basically is to make sure that everything is going as per their plans, which is not in favor of the UK people nor on the United States people. And I'm really sorry to say that United States people and United Kingdom people is not doing enough to stop these governments from supporting dictatorship and the bloodshed happening every day in Bahrain.
Well, you're right about that, Ali. Let me comment, if I may. I did not see these comments from the Bahraini foreign minister. I'd appreciate it if someone would send them to me. But I give this warning to the so-called royal family in Bahrain, that if they tell lies about me, I'll tell the truth about them. And as the Prime Minister of Bahrain knows, from his last conversation personally, face-to-face with me, I know something about him and about them, which I have, from the time that he said it until now, refrained from saying, on the grounds that diplomacy requires sometimes privacy of personal conversations. But I warn the dictatorship in Bahrain, if you have told any lies about me, I will feel no such constraint in telling the truth about you. Now, what I said about so-called Prince Nasser cannot be gainsaid. I said that he was part of a murderous dictatorship, a dictatorship which is comprised of thieves who have stolen untold billions from the people of Bahrain. I said that the dictatorship in Bahrain were usurpers. Who will deny that they were placed in power in Bahrain by white European empirical powers, piratical empire powers, namely the United Kingdom? Their power is usurped from the people of Bahrain. I said that they were involved in torture. Let me refer you to a speech I gave in 1997 in Parliament, in Hansard, in which I denounced this brutal dictatorship. Long before Press TV ever existed, long before I'd ever been to Iran. I'm not saying what I'm saying about Bahrain now. I've been saying it for almost 20 years, long before the Bahraini revolution broke out. I'm not saying it because I work for Press TV, because I love Iran, because I'm a Shia, which I'm not. I'm not saying it for any of these reasons. I'm saying it because it's right. I'm saying it because it's the truth. So I'm warning you, Mr. Royal Family in Bahrain, don't get me any angrier about you than I already am. And I mean that really sincerely. Wayne is in Cheshire, wants to talk about President Arafat. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Peace and wisdom to you, George.
Thank you, sir.
Two quick points. It wouldn't surprise me that Mr. Arafat was assassinated through the dastardly act of irradiation, but I'm sure that he would want us to be concentrating on the attempted annihilation in slow motion of the Palestinian people and state by the Zionist regimes throughout the world. Second point, yesterday evening in the House of Lords, during the water in the Palestinian territories debate, Lord Turnbull said, and I quote, UNICEF wants to build and pay for a desalination plant for the Palestinian people. UNICEF wanted to use Israeli expertise, labour and materials. Hamas said no and then kicked them out because of the Israeli connection. First of all, is it true? And if it is, what was the real reason behind this?
Well, I'm almost certain that it's not true, Wayne. I didn't see the debate in the House of Lords, and I don't know the facts about a desalination plant. But from my knowledge of the Hamas authority in Gaza, they would bite the hand off a United Nations agency that wanted to desalinate their water, not least because Save the Children, whose patron, I remind you, is Her Royal Highness, the Princess Royal, Princess Anne, told the world just a week ago, not that the world noticed because the media very largely ignored it, that more than 80% of the water supply in Gaza now is unfit for human consumption, and that therefore hundreds of thousands of Palestinian children in Gaza are at risk of dying or of serious ill health from drinking unsafe water. So I'll look into it. If you send me any details you've got, Wayne, I'd appreciate it very much indeed. But I'm virtually certain that it cannot possibly be true as reported by you. Simon Dixon is in the UK. He's a former banker and has been good enough to call us about the banking scandal. Simon, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
Go ahead. What do you think of the events of the week so far?
Well, it's been an interesting time, to say the least, for banks at the moment. We're, as the British public, and I guess the world, are really not getting surprised. I mean, there's no surprises now. It seems to be getting, with each month, it seems to be unearthing more and more and more. With the LIBOR scandals that we've seen.
This is the interbank lending rate.
Sorry?
The interbank lending rate, LIBOR.
That's right, yeah. The LIBOR interbank lending rate that we've seen, where Barclays has been accused and Bob Dimon, the CEO, has admitted to the organisation and traders manipulating interest rates, which cost the general public an awful lot of money, in the billions. Which has fraudulently been taken from people. It's also what we're going to see is while Barclays are getting the flak right now, over the coming months, we're going to see that the Bank of England was involved. We're going to see that the
Well,
the
I was going to ask you that, Simon. Let me stop you if I may, because that seems to me the bigger scandal that may lie at the heart of this. Somebody got to Bob Dimon before he turned up in Parliament yesterday, because he was clearly indicating, before he got there, that he was going to implicate the deputy governor of the Bank of England in some form or other of complicity, implicit or explicit, in the Barclays scandal, which, as you say, will shortly be a general banking scandal because other banks were involved. Were you surprised at Dimon's subsequent exculpation of the Bank of England in this, or do you think there's more that we need to know about that?
I'm not surprised at all. The government, the Bank of England, and banks have always had this cushy relationship where they've all been responsible for trying to push up property prices, trying to stimulate economic growth in a false economy. And they've all had their play in it, because we have to remember that this whole crisis which unearthed, you could start with the subprime in America, but that was all government policy, the central banking policies, and the banks were just the ones that actually implemented the policies that were required at the time. And
well, look, that's right, Simon, this is a great call. So I'm going to ask you if you'd stay on the line, because I want to ask you one or two other things when I come back after the news with the second half of comment. We're talking about the British banking scandal. We're talking about the murder of President Yasser Arafat. Who killed him and who collaborated in the killing of the Palestinian leader? And we're talking about Bahrain, about the rotten scoundrels who run that dictatorship. I'll be back, God willing, in a few moments' time.
Thank you.